Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, we're back. This is hour number three of Weekend Fantasy Update today. Yeah, it's a combination of Fantasy Sports Today, Weekend Fantasy Update, Week 19 in the NFL, Divisional Round, Playoffs. Still covering lots of stuff, the head coaching changes, breaking down games, DFS lineups. We got Cam Stewart's going to be joining us at some point this hour to talk a little betting action regarding these games here. And we were just talking a little Adam Gase. You actually had some news regarding Jason Garrett that you saw come across there, Jim.
Yeah, RotoWorld is saying that Dallas is going to try and extend Jason Garrett in the offseason and keep him just a little while longer. How do you feel about that, George?
Well, that was no shock when once they got into the playoffs and they won a playoff game. Even I can't fire him now. That being said, even, I'd like to.
Scrooge, even I can't.
Well, come on. I mean, does anybody really think Garrett's a great head coach? He's better than he was 5-6 years ago, sure. You know, Garrett has been by the book. You know, Mr. By the Book. Fourth and two, punt. Every time, except for the past couple of years, finally he'll take some chances. You know, he's starting to realize you can't just punt all the time. So I'm not a Garrett guy. I'm sure he's a very nice man. I'm sure he is. As a football coach, once again, I would put him at being nice in the average category. I don't think he wins you games. I don't think he makes the right adjustments at halftime. I think he just sticks to his game plan over and over and over again. I think Chris Richard is a good reason, is a big reason why the defense is playing so well this season. New hire. You know, I'm not a big Marinelli guy either. Certainly not a big Linehan guy. So, but once again, this is Jerry Jones. He wants to be a part of the team. You can see the puppet strings behind Garrett during the press conferences. You know, Jerry Jones is involved in all the meetings. Do you think when Bill Parcells was there that Jerry Jones was in these meetings? Get the hell out of here. You know, there's no way this is going on here. We all know what's going on with the Cowboys. Listen, it's hard. It's been going on 25 years since Jimmy Johnson left, 23 years. You know, it's tough to realize you've got an owner who wants to be, you know, fully involved. He's a full-time GM. You know, we made fun of GMs early, how they never lose their jobs. Well, hey, Mr. GM Jerry Jones should have lost his job decades ago for how bad he's been. So that's not a surprise. I expect that he wants to keep Garrett, and he got what he wanted. He would have been forced to get rid of Garrett if Dallas didn't make the playoffs this year because, you know, the fans and media just wouldn't have stood for anything less. But the fact that, once again, Dallas got in, won a playoff game, means Garrett stays, probably gets an extension, and, you know, I cry for a little bit.
Hey, I don't want to see you cry. We got to give.
Oh, I don't drink, so I, you know, what am I going to do?
I guess do what works, right? Whatever works for you. If you need to cry, go ahead. Nothing to be ashamed about. Hey, I got a prop bet for you regarding some of the major running backs for this weekend. Who will record the most rushing yards this divisional round weekend? Ezekiel Elliott, +190. Todd Gurley, +300. Or Marlon Mack, +350.
Okay, so wait. Elliott, Mack, who was the other guy?
Gurley.
Gurley.
Oh, Gurley. I'm going with Elliott. I think he's going to see the ball at least 30 times in this matchup and just put up yards. I think I got to go with him.
I agree. I think the only way I wouldn't go with Elliott is if you believe the Rams are going to get up early. Yeah, you know, the Rams are going to get up 14-0, 14-3 early, and the running game goes away. But I think what Jim said is correct. I think they're going to give the ball to Elliott every chance they get.
But see, wait, this is what I agree with. Everybody, you know, everybody's saying, oh, yeah, if they get up early, then the running game goes away. But fortunately for Elliott, he's now a big part of the passing game.
Mm-hmm. But that won't help this bet.
That's a good point. It's a rushing bet. Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right, then. Hey, sticking with this game, Jared Goff, what do we think about him? It's just a general question. But, you know, first of all, you look at his numbers. He's a lot better at home as opposed to on the road. And I was looking at his numbers after what's his name? Cooper Kupp went down with an injury. His numbers really took a nosedive. I don't know if it's through week 10, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 113 quarterback rating. That's with Cooper Kupp. After week 10, when Cooper Kupp went down, 10 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 83.9 quarterback rating. Jim, what do you think about Jared Goff and his home away splits, his splits with or without Cooper Kupp? Are you concerned about him? Would you shade him or fade him out of a DFS lineup?
Look, I have. I think I have him in 2 out of all the lineups mm-hmm. I did this week just to take that chance. But it's really not so much him. And it's the way, you know, the defenses have finally started to curtail this great offense. Look, they went mm-hmm. into that Monday night game, put up a great game, had a bye week, came out of that bye week, and seemed to be totally flat. Defense is all of a sudden playing 4 deep on the backside, taking away those deep passes and getting up in Goff's face, as George was saying before, you know, and taking away that middle where he couldn't step up into that pocket, which is what he was doing all earlier season. And that was hurting him. There's no doubt about it. That last month, he definitely looked confused. He was rattled. I think, you know, hey, look, McVay is that good. If he's that good, if he really truly is that good to be the guy that everybody's clamoring for, then he's got to mm-hmm. come up with a different game plan to attack this game. And that's what I'm waiting to see. I want to see if he does do things differently, if they, you know, shake it up a little bit here in this game to even take it to a different level. And I think they will. Absolutely. They know that wasn't working over the last month of the season, so they have to do something different. And I think that's going to be the interesting take here. You know, Goff, hey, look, with the players around him, if he doesn't get taken out of the game by game script, meaning either they have a big lead and he doesn't have to throw much, or you know, Gurley is just taking the game over, then he's mm-hmm. going to do fine with those weapons around him. But there is that concern.
Yeah. Any thoughts on Goff there, Mr. Kurtz?
It is maybe it's a coincidence, maybe not. But since little Cooper Kupp went down, he's had his issues, which I find kind mm-hmm. of strange. I mean, you still had Gurley with you, so teams weren't able to play the pass. You know, you still mm-hmm. had Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, and Josh Reynolds, who we keep talking about. I like him as well. So I'm surprised mm-hmm. his numbers have taken a dip without Kupp. I understand Kupp is very, very good. And Gurley didn't play the last couple of games, and maybe was hindered since he got hurt in that game versus Kansas City. But I was surprised that, he hasn't looked as good later in the season. Long season, it happens. He may be in a slump. But this is where I think that bye week comes in handy. Yeah, where McVay is mm-hmm. able to work with him during that week, get him on track. You know, yes, they didn't know they were going to play the Cowboys, but they were able to get his mechanics going again and maybe get his game going in the right direction. I think, like I said, I'll say it again, Dallas needs to hit him in the mouth. I think if Dallas wants to be successful, they need to get in his face, hit him, let him know the rush is coming, and it's coming all mm-hmm. day long. And I think that'll be a big feather in their cap if they can do that. But we saw last week, you know, with lesser receivers. Now, listen, Baldwin and Locke are nice guys, but, you know, it's a lesser offense there. But Russell Wilson was able to hit these deep passes. You know, Goff has he has better receivers. They'll be able to put more pressure on the Cowboys here, especially with the deep ball here, and they will try to do so. So I like Goff today. I mean, I don't like him over the other guys, the chalk guys, whether it's Luck, or Mahomes, or Breeze, but I have him as number, mm-hmm. as number 4 on my quarterback list here because I think they're going to take their shots because I think Dallas is – I'm not going to say they're going to sell out to stop the run, but they're going to look to stop mm-hmm. the run first, which could mean play-action pass is going to be wide open.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. Before we get to any more head coaching changes or games, why don't we take a look at a little bit of the go back to that mock draft, switch it up a little bit. We took a look at briefly at round 1 of that draft. Any other issues that you had, George Kurtz, with that round 1?
in round one, like I said, the biggest issue for me by far was with Dane. Yeah, I heard it like okay. that. And then, you know, I guess we already talked about the Smith-Schuster. There's no way I'm taking him eighth overall. So, assuming Jim's right that he's doing it just to be a talking point, fine. Mike Blewett, the Steelers fan, took Connor at seven. But I don't know if I have an issue with that. Connor was really good when he was healthy, so I don't have a problem. Julio Jones at nine, Gordon at 10, Thomas at 11. Devontae Adams, I think, is a gift for Ronis at 12. Because I think Jim said it earlier, he would take Adams as his number one wide receiver. I think I would too. You know, I think he's the most reliable out of all these guys. I think the passing game will be better next year. So, no, I think my only two problems, and I think, once again, I think Jim's probably right. These probably guys who did this just to be so they can be talked about were Le'Veon Bell at 2, Smith-Schuster at 8. Neither pick would I ever make in a million years.
All right. Then Ronis. At the turn, he took Devontae Adams at number 12. At the turn, he took Nick Chubb. As far as I remember, you were pretty high on Chubb, weren't you, Jim?
I like Chubb, but not that high.
Okay.
You know, it's more nothing against Chubb. I mean, he ran great once he got to the starting role, and that was the reason they were able to let Carlos Hyde go. They knew what they got on him, but the problem is they just don't pass to him enough. That early in a draft, I want, you know, running backs. I'm looking at pass-catching running backs, especially talking PPR leagues. That, you know, that's what the basis is. I want a pass-catching running back early. I'll take these running backs that don't really catch a lot of passes a little later, but not in the first two rounds. The fact that he took Nick Chubb over somebody like David Johnson, to me, I thought my pick of David Johnson was a steal at that point midway through the second round. Look, I know what everybody said, but this offense was terrible this year, and he was still the ninth best PPR running back in the league. And that was with a terrible offense. You know, with them bringing in new people, I have to think this offense has got to be a little bit better. And if it's even, you know, 15% better, then David Johnson's going to be right up in that mix again, you know, in 2020 when we're talking about top five, top six running backs. So, you know, I like the idea of taking Nick Chubb, but I think they need to get him more involved in the passing game before I take him that early.
Yeah. Next couple of picks, George. Second pick of the second round, we had Tyreek Hill, followed by DeAndre Hopkins, and then Antonio Brown. Are you kind of surprised with that? I mean, DeAndre Hopkins not being a first rounder, you think would you put him in the first round?
Yeah, of course I would. Once again, it looks like, these guys go in the round two. Yeah. All right. So Chubb, Chubb, Hill, Hopkins. I would have taken Hopkins above Hill, probably above Chubb. I might have taken him above Melvin Gordon as well, certainly above Smith-Schuster. I think I have Hopkins. Like I said, I'm not taking him above Adams. I think Adams is going to be my number one guy, and I have no problem with Julio Jones if that's where you want to go. But he falls no further than that for me. Antonio Brown, sort of a wait and see until we find out where he ends up. And then I can make that determination there about whether or not I'm going to take Brown above him. But, yeah, Frank sort of got a gift here. Hopkins at, 13, 14, 15th overall. I'm surprised. He really, to me, is probably a top eight player.
Like we said, we had Antonio Brown, Davis Maddock took Damian Harris. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, say that he thought this might have been a dynasty league or whatnot. But Mike Blewett then followed through with Adam Thielen. Now, Adam Thielen, man, he started out like a house of fire, Jim, and we've talked about it. Then he kind of really slowed down. I have to think that he was probably – he had some – his injuries that he was – you know, that listed on the injury report were a little bit more serious and slowed him down more than what we expected. I think calf was one of his major injuries that he was dealing with. But do you like him in terms of, you know, this is a full point PPR, by the way. You like him better than a Stephon Diggs?
Oh, I do. Again, you know, I think it was the injuries. And didn't he have a hip issue as well?
It might have
bogged him down for a while, you know, and I think that really came into play. But I mean, what, his first, what, 9 games or 10 games? I mean, he just was just gold, positively gold. And, you know, with the full off season to get healthy, I'm not worried about that. So I absolutely have no problem with Thielen at that point.
All right. And Kurtz, he took David Johnson, pick 18 overall. What do you think about David Johnson?
Well, I think Jim got a gift from God. I mean, come on. I know he had a bad year and all, but come on. Johnson that late? I mean, that's a no-brainer. That's a gift. Like I said, Hopkins, as far as guys who fell, Hopkins fell, Johnson fell. Listen, I know Davis is making talk about picks here, Smith-Schuster, Harris. Mm-hmm. Neither one should go above either one of these guys. So, you got a gift from God there. I'll ask Jim this question, though. You took Kamara 1, took Johnson 2. Did you want to take another running back, too? Or is it because, once again, he fell to you, you have no chance, no choice?
Oh, yeah. Once I saw David Johnson was still available, I had to take him. I mean, this was a bad year for this offense. And, again, he was still number 9 running back on the season. I can only expect it to be better next year with an offensive coach coming in. So, yeah, I was looking at wide receiver. And, actually, if we get into round 3, where I took a different position, I actually didn't like the way it ended up working out, starting with the 2 running backs and then going tight end in round 3. After that, my wide receivers got a little iffy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because after David Johnson at 18 overall, Greg Sussman took Odell Beckham Jr. Does that kind of surprise you how far Odell Beckham Jr. has fallen in drafts, Jim? The injuries on top of, his histrionics, we'll say.
There's one fact that comes into play here. He's missed 16 out of his last 32 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one full season out of 2. Yeah, one full season out of 2 he hasn't played. So, yeah, I get it. Middle of the second round, it makes all the sense in the world. I can't take him in the first round until he shows us he can be healthy for a full season again.
Mm-hmm. And Scotty Engel took the first tight end off the board, Travis Kelce. What do you think of that pick, Kurtz?
I don't believe in taking tight ends early, so I won't do it. Mm-hmm. He got the best one, so I don't have an issue with the pick, and his team looks pretty good as well. But I'm not going to go in that direction. He took Elliott in the first round. I would have taken, I haven't done the cross, so see who was available there, but I would have taken probably Evans, Hilton, those guys.
He was taken next. Yeah,
AJ Green was still there too. I think I'd have had to go in that direction, taking my top wide receiver there, because it was going to leave you a little bit of a hole at that position.
Right. Okay. All right. When we come back, keep on breaking down week 19 in the NFL. We have Cam Stewart that's going to be joining us at some point this hour.
He's ready.
He's ready.
He's waiting.
He's the man. We'll talk to Cam when we come back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Now, this is some good headbanging music there, guys.
Is that Gabe singing? Guess not.
Sean, is it? Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. Joe Galina here with the Fantasy Taz, Jim Day, George Kurtz. Cam, are you with us? Cam Stewart, Raging Redhead.
Hey, Joe, how you doing, buddy?
How's everything? I was telling Jim that you know how to talk Taz too. So you guys could go.
You see? Hello, Taz. Love Jim. Jim, I got to ask you a question too, buddy. When I was on there with the Goon Squad, where'd you get your headset at? Mine is basically, I'm hanging, I got it wrapped around my neck because it doesn't stick on my big fat pumpkin head. I was wondering, what kind of headset do you got there, Jimmy?
I got the one that they sent me from the studio, this audio box, USB box, and the headset that Mike sent out to me. Yeah, I'm using theirs. I don't know.
What's the name brand? Because I got to go on
Audio Technica.
Audio Technica. Okay, perfect. Perfect. Okay. You see, how you guys doing there? Is everybody good?
We're doing great and so happy to be speaking to you, Red Heat, Red Rage.
Red Rage. Homicide there.
That
great intro.
We're combining Fantasy Sports Today and Weekend Fantasy Update, and really happy to have you with us. Awesome weekend we got ahead of us of football, right? And I was telling the guys, it's the last football weekend where we get four games to watch. So, you know.
Yeah, you're right, Joe. This is the one. After this, it kind of gets sad. You know what I mean? After that, you know, you're waiting and waiting. But this is perfect. You know, I love this weekend. It's probably one of my favorite weekends next to Super Bowl. And by the way, I talked to Gabe. I'm coming back to New York for the Super Bowl, too. So, Joe, hopefully we can meet up then. Flying in on Saturday. And I know it's in the afternoon. I'm going to go right to that sports book. Maybe you can make your way up there. And we can all, get together for a drink, play a couple ponies and some games and have a good time.
Definitely, yeah, definitely will. I'm sorry that we didn't get to see each other last week, but I'm glad you're coming right back. So what are we thinking about this week's games? I guess we'll start with today's game that starts at, I believe it's 4:35 Eastern time. The Colts traveling to Kansas City. I have the Chiefs as a 5-point favorite, and the over-under 57 suggesting that this could be the highest scoring game of the day.
Yeah, I can tell you something, Joe, and I see some line movement in this game, too. I'm seeing some totals that even down as far as 55.5 in this one, 56 in some other places. And usually I'm a vibe player there, Joe, but I'm going to go with some empirical data, too. I'm taking the under in this football game. I know it's probably not going to be a popular pick, but just doing some research in the Andy Reid era, 3.08 less points scored by the Chiefs at home, and opponents are held 6.25 points less in this game. Mm-hmm. Also, it's going to be a little bit frigid. I could see the defense is actually playing better than people anticipate, and I'm going to take the under in this football game. I got it at 57. I was thinking Colts all week, but I see a lot of public money coming in on the Colts. I'm a little bit scared now to pull the trigger, so I'm probably going to do a teaser. Joe, and we talked about those on the night show. I think you bring Kansas City down to, you know, plus one if you want to do a 6.5 pointer with under 63. I think there's going to be less points than people think, and if you like the Colts, I feel more comfortable getting them at as 12-point underdogs than 5-point underdogs. What do you think there, buddy?
Well, we were just talking that I like the Colts and the points, and I kind of like the under. I believe George liked the under, too. He thought that, George, you could speak for yourself. You thought that the Chiefs would, Long Island Rage, right, that the Chiefs would come out a little tight.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like the under. I like the under at 57, more or less. Now they got it down to 56. I just don't think they're – I think they're going to be tight. I think there could be some turnovers here. You know, Kansas City, with their history of not Jim and I talked about it earlier. Yeah, they've won a home playoff game since 93. You know, the Colts have won as many playoff games in Arrowhead as the Chiefs had in history, which is just – mind-blowing for me. So, yeah, I like the under here. I don't think quite as many points. It's a playoff game, too. I think defenses play a little better. They'll game plan better here. I think it'll be decently high-scoring. I don't think it's going to be a 14-13 game, but I don't think it's going to be 40-30 either.
I don't need 40-30, but give me 37-31. I'll be happy as hell. I think it's going over, guys. I do. I get all the talk about, you know, it's a divisional playoff game, and, you know, Mahomes is a young starter getting his first playoff experience. You know, I get all that. There's a little snow on the ground. The field might be a little muddy, might be a little bit breezy. I get all that. I don't care. I just don't. You know, while Kansas City has been a better defense at home, they're still not a good defense in any way, shape, or form. They were hoping to get Eric Berry back this week. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. So, you know, that is what it is. I mean, it's not like he's played much at all this year anyway, but still would have been a big, you know, boon for their defense to get him back. So that doesn't look like that's going to happen. And, you know, with the way that Mahomes is playing, the way that Luck is playing, I think this ball is going to go down. It's going to be in the air most of this game for all those reasons. And, you know, I just don't see it. I understand what you guys, what everybody's saying about the under. And there are, Cam, there's quite a few people talking about the under now, especially people getting, you know, afraid of the snow. I just don't think it's going to be that huge a detriment. Usually snow favors the offense more than it does the defense anyway. So I just, you know, I don't know. I like these big games, and I think it's just going to go over that.
Yeah, you're getting a bad number too now. That's another thing. Like, I don't want to do that, like, just to have action on the game. Because if you didn't get it at 57, getting it at, like, probably 55 game time, we've seen these steam movements there, Jim. A lot of the time it lands, like, you lose by, you know, half a point. It happens all the time in college basketball. Morenci and I talk about it all the time. These big, big moves usually doesn't go very well in this game. But I'm starting to think the Chiefs will win this game. I'm just not sure if they're going to cover the spread, though. A lot of people that I respect, too. A lot of good gamblers. And I've never seen this before, guys, in the divisional round. All the public money, all with the dogs. The pub, every single underdog is taking more action than the favorites, and it's usually a favorites weekend. So it's going to be pretty interesting. Yeah. I think the Chiefs win, but I feel comfortable with the Colts in a teaser to plus 12, but I think the Chefs get it done at home.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the Chiefs win. I think the Colts make it close. So what about tonight's game? We have the Rams at home against the Cowboys. I have them as a 7.5-point favorite, 48.5 over-under in this game. Cam?
48.5. Yeah. You know what, Joe? I'll tell you, I'm not doing this just because me and Kurtz are going to be working in the future. I love the Cowboys in this spot. How about them Cowboys? And I know, Dave, you work with the Goon Squad there with Corey, and basically he's like a booster for this team. You know, it's he's president of the fan club. Doesn't kind of sees this team through rose-colored glasses, but I really don't care about the Cowboys. But I like the points in this matchup. I think their defense is going to do enough to rattle Goff. I think Ezekiel Elliott's going to be huge in this game. Just big, big chunks of yardage on the ground. I think the defensive tackles for the Rams, guys like Sue and Donald, they're going to over-pursue. I think it's going to open up some things, and I really think the Cowboys can linger in this game. And I if the Rams win, I think they squeak out a win. I love the generous points at 7. On my book at 7.5, that's a huge hook. Sign me up with Parson and the rest of the gang. How about them Cowboys with Kurtz? I'm taking Dallas to cover.
The only thing I'm going to say about that whole soliloquy is, you know, Parson is a booster for Dallas Cowboys, and luckily for him, he has to sit on a booster seat. I totally agree with you on this. On the Dallas side, I love the 7.5 points. I think it's huge, especially with the way the Rams have been playing the last month. There is, I do have some concern that McVay brings out a few new wrinkles based on the fact that the offense wasn't moving well the last month. He's had almost basically 2 weeks to rectify that, and I do think we see some new wrinkles out of this offense. But I still, Dallas is playing too good, and as long as Dak keeps his head on his shoulders and doesn't make any stupid turnovers, I think they have a really good chance of being in this game. I think the Rams win, but I think Dallas covers that number all day.
Yeah, I like the Dallas to cover as well, and alluding to what Cam had brought up with the defense. I mean, they show that you can beat the Rams. You got to double-team Aaron Donald, and you leave Ndamukong Suh exposed. He hasn't been himself, you know, so we'll see.
I'd say run the ball straight at Aaron.
Yep, exactly. Just
running
power run. Mm-hmm. Like Ezekiel Elliott with that offensive line and the guys they have back, I think there's a huge advantage for Dallas. They want to turn this into an old-school fight. Like, we're going to punch you in the face. The Rams are flash, and Dallas is more like hardcore old school. I think if they play smash mouth football, they can wear down the Rams, and that could open things up for Prescott enough to make a lot of plays. I wouldn't be shocked, Joe, if Dallas won this game outright. They're plus 285 on the money line. It might be worthy of a sprinkle.
What do you think? We got a prop bet, at least we saw, Ezekiel Elliott, 97.5. You taking that over or under?
Over. Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, I'll look for the I'll look on my book, too. I haven't seen it yet. They haven't posted combined. You know how they do, like, the 124.5 combined rushing and receiving?
He's at 134.5 on FanDuel.
I like that, Jim. I think at 134 and a half, I think if it passes out of the backfield, he might get 70 or 80 receiving. So I'm definitely down with that prop, Galena. I think that's a great play, and it's going to be interesting today, guys. Man, with all these underdogs, the one underdog that I'm kind of getting off now is Indianapolis. It's weird. I'm starting just to think that Kansas City, everyone's waiting for Andy Reid to gag and all this playoff team, and they're 1-5-1 ATS in the last seven overall, and they've been bad. Down, you know what I mean, not covering these big numbers, but I'll just tell you the Colts were on a nice little tootsie roll, but I think Kansas City at home, they'll be ready to go. Sammy Watkins there too, lots of options. Hey, but the rookie quarterbacks have struggled, guys. You know, first time playoff scenarios this year, Watson loser, Jackson loser, Trubisky loser, but I think Mahomes, he puts one in the win column.
He's at a different level than those guys are anyway, the way
exactly,
he's played this
Jim.
Year. He seems so calm and poised no matter what the situation is. And you just don't, you know, the other guys, look, I'm not even going to put Lamar Jackson in that category just because he's just not a pure thrower yet. And, you know, you can't rely on his rushing game to beat every team, especially when you start to see him for the second time is what we saw. Plus, the fact that the offense didn't change a damn thing from the game 2 weeks ago, that really bothered me. How can you be a head coach and not change the offense at all? So I don't even put him in that category, but I think Mahomes is in a different category anyway. I don't think this game rattles him. I just think both sides put points up on the board, and I think it could really come down to whoever has the ball last.
Yeah, and per Evan Silva at RotoWorld, Colts run zone coverage, highest rate in the league. In the last five games that Mahomes has played against running zone teams that play zone defenses, 14 touchdowns for Mahomes against zero interceptions. So that is in his favor as well. Tomorrow's games there, Cam. Got the Chargers and New England in New England. Patriots, a four-point favorite. 47 is the over-under. How do you see that game?
You know what, Joe? There's a lot of things. I know I just got to know you this year. There's not many things I hate more than New England. I absolutely detest the Patriots. Some nice
I know
people.
You don't like the Penguins,
buddies.
Right? You don't like who else don't you like? Sidney Crosby, right? There's another guy I think you don't like.
He's a Canadian, but he whines too much. He whines too much. I like those old school players. But I'll tell you, you know what, Galena? It's just I'm taking the Chargers. Gabe and I talked about it. Joey Bosa and that pass rush. All they have to do is get to Brady. But I'm very aware. Yep. Every game I've watched this year, and Joe, with the Jets game, little touch to Brady, flag. Every time. Every time. And you can, I don't want to be the conspiracy guy, but I'm telling you, they will get calls in this game at home. The referee who's doing the Patriots game, too, also dug a little bit deeper. Ron Tolbert, Patriots, 4-0 ATS in games that he's done with them. They win and cover every single time. I'm worried. I really want Phillip Rivers to get that monkey off his back, but I'm telling you guys, I am so scared of the Patriots getting calls in this game. It happened against Jacksonville when they played him. It happens every single damn game when they're at home. They're 8-0 at home for a reason. They get things done, but they also seem to get help from the referees. What about the Chargers, too? Do you think the NFL wants these guys playing games in front of like 20,000 people? Gabe and I talked about that on the show. There's a lot of factors that say Patriots, but I think the Chargers with that defense and their special teams has improved. They got good kicking last week in Baltimore. Desmond King's a monster returning the ball. Give me the points with the Chargers, but I have a feeling I might regret this one.
There have been conversations already that if the Chargers win and host the championship game, that they're already looking at other venues because they don't want to play in that stadium. What so they're already, you know, talking about
it. Why don't you just stay in San Diego, Jim? Wasn't it fun? Phillip Rivers takes a damn helicopter or whatever to get the practices anyways. Him and his nine kids are still in San Diego. Like, it's just, I tell you, man, this, you don't need two L.A. teams. Well, whatever. Like, you know, it's a business league as much as anything else. But I just really believe in that Chargers front four with Ingram and Bosa, and I think they can really wreak havoc on the Patriots. I'm just really worried that good old Tom gets calls, he gets touched, wise to the ref. He's the only quarterback I know that gets to go in the huddle with the referees and have chats with these guys. How's your family? Oh, things are good. Oh, okay. It's, you know, it's nuts. Him and Aaron Rodgers.
When are you coming over for dinner?
Like, what? Hey, I'll see you tonight. Thanks. Hey, that's pass interference. Throw a flag. Like, Brady works these referees hard, and you got to hand it to him. He does everything in his power to win, and a lot of the times these guys listen.
Hey, I have one big question, though. When was the last time, you know, especially in the playoffs, that the Patriots win a game that had the lowest over-under on the slate?
Yeah, that tells you how good the Chargers' defense is, or how scared the bookies are to put a bigger number out there. Now, that's the thing. This game might be slow. They're talking about the conditions. It could be. The one thing is, not snow. Jim, you mentioned it earlier, wind. And right now, I think that game, when you're looking at it, projections of like 15-mile-an-hour winds, that changes everything. You saw the wind in the Chargers-Baltimore game. It wreaked havoc on Baltimore. I know they didn't really have a good game plan, as Jim, you mentioned, but Lamar Jackson was scared to throw the ball. Like those winds were lethal. So we'll see what happens, guys. I really want to take the Chargers. What do you think, Galena? Like, betting against the Patriots doesn't get people rich,
right? But I'm with you. I'm with the Chargers in this one.
What about you, Jim?
I'm just going to put up one point. Yes, I do love the. I love the Chargers. I think they're just a better overall team at this.
What about Long Island Rage?
But I do have one question. What I'm seeing, I don't know if you're seeing somewhere different. I use a site called NFLweather.com, and they're saying it's only going to be 4-mile-an-hour winds throughout the game.
Perfect. Perfect. Man, might have to go on that over.
Have any play.
All right, quickly, the Philadelphia New Orleans in New Orleans, 8-point favorite, the legend of Nick Foles. What do you think in that game, Nick Cam?
Yeah, this one, I like the Saints all week. I'm starting to think Philadelphia, but what I like more now is the over in that football game. I think both teams are going to put up points. It's going to be a track meet in that game. That total's too low.
Yeah, it could be a game where Nick Foles is forced to throw the ball a lot.
Yeah, I'll take Philly plus the points, too.
Yep. All right. Cam, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Good luck with some money, and I'll see you guys for Super Bowl. Have a good one.
There you go. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, a little smoke on the water, a little Deep Purple on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
One of my favorite bands.
Like them too. Weekend Fantasy Update today. Joe Galena, Jim Day, the Fantasy Taz, the Long Island Rage, George Kurtz. Final segment of this show. We'll be back at the top of next hour with Weekend Fantasy Update there, Jim.
We lose it today.
Yeah, exactly. So the DailyRoto.com partnership with Data Golf is back for 2019 with all new premium fantasy golf and betting tools. Check out the all new lineup optimizer with custom settings and advanced grouping, customizable projections for FanDuel and DraftKings, ownership projections, PGA finish probabilities, and simulator, outright and top 20 market betting tools, head-to-head and three-ball betting tools, PGA Pro Tip, subscriber chat, and more. Go to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, choose Golf, and then enter promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. That's DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, click on Golf, and enter promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. Good segment with Cam Stewart. Hey, George, give us your take on keys to the game for on Sunday. I don't know. What are we thinking here for the early game?
Well, the early game, I mean, both teams, I think, are going to try to establish the run game with Gordon and Michelle. I don't know if
Chargers,
either one's going to be.
Chargers, Patriots, yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if either one's going to be successful there. I think because the other team knows it. All right, Brady. He's had problems off and on this year. I think the extra week off is certainly big for this team, huge for this team. It's why I think they win the game. I think this is another week in the regular season. I probably would go with the Chargers here. Chargers haven't lost away from home. Assuming we can even call that home, right? Whatever you want to call
California, yeah.
Right, if you want to call a Staples Center, Who's eating, man? I'm hungry. That's not fair. Chargers haven't lost, so I think it's going to be a very good game. I truly do, and I like the Chargers' chances in this game. I said it earlier in the show. The reason I'm taking the Patriots, until someone beats them, I'm taking them. Mm-hmm. All right, until someone proves me you can beat New England in Foxborough, I'm taking them. If you're a conspiracy theorist, I mean, we all think the Colts have a pretty good chance. Let's say the Colts upset the Chiefs today. All right, mm-hmm. They beat the Chiefs. Do you think the NFL wants any chance of the championship game, the AFC championship game being played in the Staples Center next week? Not going to happen. So yeah. I'm sure the Patriots may get a couple extra calls for that reason, but it's also why I think Jim mentioned it talking with Cam, and I said it earlier in the show, or maybe it was the last show, I forget which one I said it, but there's been some talk.
Damn it.
I don't remember which show. I mean, these shows all blend in after a while. Like, you guys can have the same problem in an hour. Remember when you said it. There's been some talks about the Rose Bowl, once again, possible, the Coliseum hosting the championship game next week in the AFC.
Well, it makes sense even from an economic standpoint, too. Right?
Absolutely would make sense.
Somewhat tickets, yeah, right?
All right, it's close enough where, listen, it's not like there's a ton of Charger fans going to the Staples Center. Okay? Mm-hmm. They can easily do that. I think it makes I'd be shocked. Shocked, I tell you, if the Chargers host the AFC Championship game and it's still played at Staples. I think they'll definitely
Oh, it won't. It absolutely won't happen.
Right. They'll move.
There's not enough seats to sell.
So and I like what Cam brought up. Cam brought up, let's face it. I mean, we don't like to say it, but look, the Patriots do get more calls, especially at home. And for the reasons that you brought up, too. I mean, they're not going to want to see an AFC championship game played in the Staples Center. So
you're all taking the conspiracy side. Usually that's my job. I'm usually
You're rubbing off on us, yeah.
you're all taking this conspiracy angle. The NFL doesn't want the Chargers to win.
Well, they don't. They definitely don't. And listen, I think that's fine not to want a certain team to win for business. I get that. It's when things go sudden, weird things go that team's direction. That's when the conspiracy issue starts to come in here. Listen, I'm sure the NFL would like the Cowboys to win tonight. It's more money. All right, it's just the way it is. There are always teams you want to win for various reasons when you're in the business.
I can hear the refs now. Intentional grounding. That was a running play.
Oh, sorry, that was part of the script. I got ahead of myself.
That must be next play I was supposed to call at.
I mean, but I really don't think it's a slam. I almost like emotionally want to see the Chargers win. I think they cover. I'm not 100% sure that they win. The thing is, you look at Melvin Gordon, man, and like I said, dealing with a knee sprain. I said it earlier that he might be playing with braces on both legs. Keenan Allen probably has some residual effects from his hip injury. I'm just worried about them getting players on the field. I mean, Hunter Henry officially activated, but who really cares? Like, how many snaps could he play? So I'm just a little concerned with the Chargers, able to field a healthy team. And then also, when you look at Phillip Rivers, much worse versus man coverage than zone. The Patriots play man at the NFL's highest rate. So you have a little bit of an issue there as well. So we'll see what happens. But so your final take, Mr. Kurtz?
On this game, I got the Patriots. I got the Patriots. Okay. Until someone can beat them in Foxborough, I honestly think the Chargers are probably the better team overall. Mm-hmm. I think this is, once again, the week off, playing at home. The edge goes towards the Patriots here. But I want the Chargers to win. I do. I really do.
Yeah, I think not everyone, but a lot of people.
I have nothing against the Patriots.
They're the sentimental favorite.
I know a lot of people hate the Patriots because they're the Patriots. They're the villain. Mm-hmm. And right. I get that. I don't really, as a Cowboy fan, they've done nothing to me. it's not like we've ever lost them in the Super Bowl where I could hate them.
As a Giants fan, but they've done nothing to us.
We love to play them in the Super Bowl.
But at least you played them, so I can understand the hatred there. But I don't have nothing against them.
No,
I don't.
We love. We know we're going to beat them.
Deflategate, Spygate, they did it, and I guess that could anger some people too. They did both. Mm-hmm.
I get what everybody's talking about. I mean, the Patriots at home, and never they've won all 8 games this year, and Rivers has never been. I get all of that, but when it comes down to it, Chargers are, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, they are a better team overall. From start to finish, they are a better team. Brady has not played a great season. I'm not saying he can't have a great game. He obviously can. We saw that a few weeks ago where he came in and, you know, bombed it away and went nuts. So we know he can do that. I just think the one way you know you can beat Brady is to get in his face early.
Yes.
And, you know, get him out of that comfort zone, get him out of that pocket, and you could really start to disrupt his game. And what I saw last week from Ingram on the defensive side for the Chargers was a guy who was just playing. Well, Bosa, we, you know, really know, but Ingram was the guy last week who was just disrupting everything. And I think these two guys are going to be in his face all game, and I think he's going to start having issues. He's going to start getting happy feet moving around, and he's going to make mistakes. And, you know, I understand all the numbers pointing to them winning once again. I get the fact that they get plays called. I just think the Chargers are coming in with, you know, the fact that we want this finally. We're going to get it for Rivers, and I think they take it.
Yeah. And agree with you in terms of, you know, you need to pressure Brady. But look at this. Week 8 last season, Chargers pressured Brady 23 times on 50 dropbacks. That was the most pressures Brady faced all season long. And they sacked him 3 times. Pat still ended up winning the game, 21-13.
It wasn't the same team, though.
Yeah,
I get. Believe me, I understand all the logic behind taking New England, and I'm not going to fault anybody for wanting to go that way. Yeah. I'm just saying I think this is a chance where the best team finally wins.
I'm actually taking the Chargers with the points, but I just think that Patriots could you know, eke out this win. So, but we'll see. Hey, George, you're not going to be joining us the next hour, but why don't you give us your take on the Eagles-Saints? What's your keys to that game with the Saints home favored by 8 over under 51? The legend of Nick Foles, will it continue?
You know, I mentioned last week, the one game I felt most confident about as far as anything, gambling, I felt I knew how it was going to go, was the Chicago Bears-Eagles game. That's the game I definitely dropped the most money on, and I liked I certainly liked what happened here. I said it earlier today. You know, last week on Thursday, I like the Eagles a lot here. I'm going to take the, 5.6 points. On Friday, talking with Gabe and Cam, and they liked the same thing. I felt even more confident. By Saturday, I liked the Eagles straight up. By Sunday, I was counting my money because I knew the Eagles were going to win, and they did. And on Monday, my wife found out, and I didn't get the money anyway. So all that money went to her. So I feel sort of similar here, but for the Saints, I think this is the one game where the Nick Foles train comes to an end here. It's been a magical ride here. Good for him. He's going to make himself a lot of money in the offseason. I don't think the Eagles are going to franchise him. I don't see that happening, so they'll trade him. Or he'll be released, and away he goes, and he'll start for a new team here. But I just think the ride ends here. I think the Saints, once again, week off in that dome. You're going to need to score 30-plus points to beat them, and I don't think the Eagles can do that. I think they can score somewhat. You know, 20s wouldn't shock me at all, but it wasn't like Foles played all that great last week. I know it was the Bears' defense, great defense. I get it. But Foles didn't look all that great either. I think the Saints will win fairly easily tomorrow, and the spread, more importantly, is down to 8 points, which I like a lot. Now, if it was a double, if it was still a 10, I'd have my doubts.
Here's an interesting stat. The last 4 times the Saints have faced Jim Schwartz as a defensive coordinator. Now, it was only once with the Eagles earlier this year, but the 3 other times before that was when he was DC with Detroit. In those games, the Saints have won all 4, and they've had an average of 42.3 points scored against his defense. And we know that their secondary is, you know, Avante Maddox, Cravon LeBlanc, and Rasul Douglas. Drew Brees is saying, let's see. Who am I going to pick on today? I like the points. I think the points are too much just because Foles is going to throw the ball all day long. And he's going to have some success against his secondary. He is. They're not going to be able to run on him. They're probably not even going to try to run more than 15 times in this game. You know, I think we see a lot of, you know, short passes and bubble screens and things like that. But I also think they take quite a few deep shots here and try to go down the field on this defense. So, you know, I like the points. I just don't think they could beat New Orleans.
Do you think that the Saints might be a team of destiny this season? This is from sportsinteraction.com. Listen to this.
No.
2009. No, you're not going to cover your ears? 2009.
No, I'm saying no. I don't think they're a team of destiny, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, listen to these these odd figures, facts, whatever. 2009. The Saints won the Super Bowl, right? They finished 13-3, NFC top seed, led the NFL in point differential.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Right? You saw that one, right? Yeah. Saints, 3 losses, Dallas, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. This season, Saints again, 13-3, NFC's top seed, led the NFL in point differential. Both of those seasons, 6th in rushing. And their 3 losses were again to Dallas, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. Are they a team of destiny or what? What do you think, George?
You search long and hard, you'll always find stats like this.
This is a tough one to find, but yeah.
Yeah, listen, I saw this too. It's curious. It's fun. I get it. Do I think the Saints are going to win the game? Sure. Do I think they're a team of destiny? No. And if you're going to believe stats, okay, well, because of that Saints win, Dallas hasn't won a road playoff game in the last 6 tries. Okay, knock out Dallas. We already said KC can't win at home, right? Indianapolis, as many wins as KC. Forget KC. That game's over. Patriots always win, so why watch the games? Right, it's over. Now, we know who it's going to be. It may end up working out that way, where it's the Rams, Saints, Patriots, and Colts. It may very well. But to say they're a team of destiny, it's a fun stat. I saw it early in the week as well. It was like, wow, that is weird. It's certainly weird. But no, I don't think they're a team of destiny. But I think they win tomorrow.
I love those kind of stats because they are fun, and somebody wasted a lot of time to figure that out. but, you know, it's what I always say. You can make stats say anything you want them to say.
Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
That's right. But I do like those kind of things. I find them interesting. Just the fact that somebody sat down and figured it all out. Yeah. You know, on the third Sunday in February, when it's 30 degrees or less and there's a slight overcast in the sky and there's birds on the top of the stadium, this team is going to win by 7 points.
Perfect. I love it. I'll plunk my bet down right now. George, what'd you think of the methods Sean Payton used to motivate his team?
That stuff. $225,000 and a replica. And the real Lombardi Trophy. And
they won it, right?
With 4-arm guards, by the way. He did have 4-arm guards there. Listen, I like, Bill Parcells was famous for that, and Peyton's a disciple of that, where, he had the cheese, the mouse traps all over the place. Maybe not to that extent, having $225,000. But I like all that stuff. It just always amazes me that professional athletes need that kind of thing. You need to be told that this is what's at stake for winning the Super Bowl? Really?
It's nice to see it in person. It is what it is. I'm not defending it or not defending it. It is what it is. It seems to work for poker tournaments, having that big money there in front of these guys. And, people watching the show seem to like that, seeing all that money sitting there that these guys are going to win. So, it is what it is. But, again, it's just another contest. You want this? Win me 3 more freaking games. And I can see a team doing that. I got no problem with it. It's just, interesting. It's just another ploy.
All right. So what are you doing the rest of the day there, George?
During your show, I'll be listening to your show for at least the first hour, because I'll be at the gym. And I
so we can't say anything bad about you, okay?
Well, you can. I'll just curse you out at the gym and, fall off a machine or two. And then coming home, watching the hockey games, Islanders, Rangers this afternoon before I get ready for football all day. There Wife and go. Children all are right. out, man. This is going to be a good day for me. They have some birthday party. They're gone.
All right. Well, it was a lot of fun working with you again, George. I'm sure it won't be the last. Enjoy the games this weekend. And, hey, out there, stick around. Me and Jim will be back. Weekend Fantasy Update coming up right after this.